Tuesday, July 14th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 3, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Humble Moses.
When you begin to know him as you should, when you begin to know him, you begin to have confidence as Christians that his word is powerful and that he delivers people from death, his people. And nothing can stop it. I say only let us join in the cause in celebrating and make his name known to the ends of the earth.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
The result of the Exodus was a people brought to him, near to him, who would worship him. That was the purpose of their deliverance. He says the same thing in Deuteronomy 5. So it was when you heard the voice, the Lord said, from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near. All the heads came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he lives. That's the marvel. Here's what overwhelmed Moses. God would take his place among them. He would tabernacle among them. He who is a consuming fire, Hebrews, and dwelling in their midst, he would not consume them. The motivation of God is moving in this text, and that's what I really found so overwhelming about this particular passage again. God says to Moses, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Just ponder that. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Motivation of all this. God loves his people. He sees his people. He knows their sufferings. He hears their prayers and their cries. The whole Bible constantly represents them as coming up to the throne room of God, like prayers of incense, right into the throne room. They're suffering. They're in bondage. And notice he says, I have come down to deliver them. I love them. And I'm going to give them the land. I'm going to give them eternal life. I'm going to give them the land promised to Abraham. This is the marvel of our faith. That God loves you, his people. That God constantly considers you. Now, I don't have to tell you you're worthy. You're not worthy of that. But he does. And he hears your prayers. And he hears your cries. And he says, I'm giving them eternal life. I'm giving it to them. This is right out of the words of Jesus. The Father bestows a kingdom upon you. It's a gift. The whole story of the Exodus is a representation of the cross and him coming down to rescue us from sin and death. That's all this is. That's what the whole book of Exodus is teaching us. So what does God do? Next breath. Come now, Moses. I'm sending you. I'm sending you to Pharaoh that you may bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You could almost hear the thoughts of Moses' head, and they come out. You're doing what? This is the long history of the calling of prophets. I said last time, prophets are needy, so are pastors. You could ask my wife. He chose all the unlikely candidates. Jeremiah was a scared little youth. Amos was a farmer from Tekoa. How in the world could God rescue through a farmer? Farmers are stubborn. You should be laughing. Jonah was an emotional mess. Elijah had cowardly moments, like we considered hiding in a cave. As soon as God said he was sending Moses, Moses begins all of his concerns. First thing he says, "Who am I? Who am I to go do this thing? That I should go to Pharaoh and bring up the children of Israel out of Egypt? I have no status. I'm a nobody. And you're sending me to him?" When a servant of the Lord stands in the presence of the Lord, it completely humbles the person. It should. I still see in my mind, maybe this is bad, but I still see in my mind the Charlton Heston movie, The Ten Commandments. I watched it as a kid all the time. And I just remember Charlton Heston coming down the mountain, and he had like stripes and his head was gray and his face shone. And I thought, I'm scared to death of ministry. I don't want to look like that. Moses was different after this. Moses was not the same after this. When he finally met God in his holiness, we have an offset servant. You have to appreciate that, and this is what I love to tell people and try to help them understand about ministry, is that this is why servants of the Lord are called to minister to his people. They're different. In general, they're just different. And they're treated differently. It's the hardship of ministry is that those to whom he is sending a servant, the ministry was to bring the people of God to him without them being consumed. And they didn't understand any of this. Or they wouldn't understand it. They're at the foot of the mountain making another god. This is the whole difficulty of ministry, is that when a servant is sent, he had to be standing in the presence of the Lord, and he had to get to know the Lord and finally meet him as the true God of heaven and earth. And then to go back to a people who have not stood there. And that was the fight with Israel. It was constantly one of them not knowing or taking God seriously, especially his worship. And that's just the problem today. It still reverberates throughout history for all ministry. Whenever a servant is attempting to bring, it's a ministry, remember, we're ambassadors, Paul said, of reconciliation. Whenever the servant is attempting to bring people to the Lord, there is always a great clash as that servant attempts to teach people who God is. And how they draw near. If you don't have a right knowledge of God and your understanding of God is surface, I just encourage you, start checking out books on the attributes of God. Read about him. You won't have convictions on these things. And that makes ministry a battle. To understand the most important things. You'll just view convictions as joyless, dead customs of people. not understanding why they're there. But it's not true. Notice this has brought Moses to a crisis. This has really brought Moses to a crisis. A series of real concerns about this whole business. Who am I? You're sending who? You're sending me? I'm totally unworthy for this. Moses, the scriptures say, was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I think this is pretty genuine at this point. God answers Moses' question here beautifully with a series of promises. If you look at verse 12, the Lord to this first question says, certainly I will be with you. And as a sign, I'm going to bring you back to this place and we will worship right here. In all the struggle, this is a beautiful thing to remember. It's for you too. The Lord has always promised to be with his people in whatever the calling is. In all of our inadequacies, in all of our failings. Next one. But verse 1 of chapter 4, they're not going to listen to my voice. How in the world am I going to convince them you have sent me? There's no way that'll work. And the Lord says, I'll do mighty signs by your hand. Then there's the third. Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken. I don't have the gifts. I can't speak. I'm slow of speech and of the tongue. Sometimes people ask that of me. Were you always a speaker? No. In college, I took a speech class and I remember trembling to the point where I could barely get up to the podium. It was an embarrassment. Do I not make the tongue? Did I not form your mouth? Do I not make mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord, who formed the throat? I'll go with your mouth. I'll teach you what you should speak. And then Moses says, Lord, please send someone else. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. That's usually right there why people don't serve in the kingdom, right there. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And the Lord has nothing of it. He's kindled his anger. You will go. Let's spend a moment here to close this out on the one excuse I think has the most, they're all important, but this one's really good. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What do I say to them? In other words, who are you? Who are you? Let me understand this. You just said you'll be with me, but they don't know you. They haven't stood in your presence. What am I going to tell them? That I saw your glory in a bush out in the desert? I don't even have a name for you. Think about that dilemma just for a minute. What instruction had Israel had in the knowledge of the true God? They're worshiping Egyptian bull gods. They didn't even know his name. Lord, when I go to them and say to their fathers, God has come to deliver them, they don't know you. They're going to ask who you are. That's how lacking the knowledge of God is among them. What's your name? Would you tell me? What's your name? They don't know it. You want me to march into Pharaoh. That's like marching into the head of ISIS. The most powerful king of the nations, demanding that he let your people go you've assigned an absolutely impossible task. I don't know what to say. If you're honest, you know the reason we don't even talk to our neighbors about Jesus is precisely because it feels like an impossible task. And you feel a little foolish. You see the challenge of this? Everything we're doing here, the whole thing feels impossible. all of ministry. Think of our message. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man comes to the Father except through me. You want me to bring that exclusive message in a pluralistic society that we're in a time when everyone does what is right in their own eyes, in a time of sexual libertinism, when everyone's saying, live however you want, do whatever you want, do whatever makes you happy. You want me to say that? You want me to go tell people they need to be delivered and saved? And you want us to give a message to believe in a God they've never seen? How many can even give an orthodox definition of the Trinity? And I'm to give the name above every name when they've never seen him? Well, I'm glad I'm not a pastor or prophet. Right? Well, Lord, you want me to go tell my loved one that the path they're on is wrong? They should turn to Christ? I know what they're doing. Impossible. Impossible. Moses says, just at least give me your name. That's the effect of this. And then comes the great moment. Moses, I am who I am. You go tell them, I am sent me. Now that's been confusing over the centuries on purpose. It's given in the first person. It's been understood as the verb. So it's the verb to be. God is saying, you tell them, I am the one who always is, I am who I always will be, I am self-exist. You tell them, I am who I am. That's what you tell them. You want me to go say, I am has sent me the God of your fathers. That's what you want me to say. Yes. How does that help? And I answer, it's way more Moses about trusting God's power of his word than it is about asking whether it'll work. Herman Bavinck said, God is that which he calls himself, and he calls himself that which he is. Who is God? God is who he is. And that's all there is to it, Moses. God never began the revelation of his whole Bible saying, I hope you'll believe in me. In the beginning, God. There's a great moment in the Gospels when Jesus is sending his disciples to get the donkey. You've been confused by it. Go get the donkey. And they say, well, they're going to ask. They're going to ask, you know, who's asking for this? And what was Jesus' answer? You tell them the Lord needs it. Well, we had a young man come at church here. We're all in the council room, and this young man walks in. He says, I need to talk to someone. And so I walk out with this young man, and we sit out here, and he says, I need help. And I said, well, what do you need? I just expect people are going to ask for money. I just expect people are going to ask for stuff. Now, I just got out of jail. I've pretty much wrecked my life. I said, well, do you need help? Like, you know, what do you need help with? And he says, I'm not asking for anything. I need the Lord. I had to pick up my jaw off the ground. I've never had anyone say that to me. God is calling us to this kind of confidence. And that's how he reassures Moses. You notice in verse 28, they will listen to your voice. I will compel them with my mighty hand. I will do it. Pharaoh will let you go with great plunder. And why is God doing this, beloved? Because he loves his people. He won't lose them. I've heard their cries. I'm coming down to deliver. And ultimately, God answered Moses' last concern, send somebody else. He did. This is the whole story of the greater prophet. Jesus made really clear who he is. And that revelation now is clear. I am the door of the kingdom. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Son of God. Lo and behold, I am with you till the end of the age. God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name that every knee will bow and confess Jesus is Lord. It will happen, if not now on Judgment Day. It's a marvel God loves us. It's a great marvel he's heard our cries. It's the greatest marvel he sent the prophet, his son, to come here and rescue us. And we fought him the whole way. But he is the mediator who brings us to God, by which we are not consumed. He's the one. When you begin to know him as you should, when you begin to know him, you begin to have confidence as Christians that his word is powerful and that he delivers people from death, his people, and nothing can stop it. I say only let us join in the cause in celebrating and make his name known to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for so rich a gift. Thank you for prevailing over the hardness of our own hearts. Thank you for sending and raising up a ministry. May your people know you. May they understand you. In these you take delight. And thank you for the sending of the prophet who stormed down into Egypt. Out of Egypt I've called my son. And brings us and gives us eternal life as a free gift. What mercies to us. Open our mouths then in confidence as we know you to speak the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you join us next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.